Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skill, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Go to parentpumpradio.com to leave your questions, comments, and suggestions for future shows, and subscribe to our RSS feed so you will be automatically notified of new shows. Our show is also syndicated on missions with an S, radio.org, and liveleadplay.com. As a mom, I am extremely concerned about what goes into my children's body, from GMO to pesticides in foods to substances like alcohol, drugs, and even second and third hand smoking. So here I am in California, and Prop 64, which is the legalization of marijuana, passed recently, which makes me really concerned because I don't know much about marijuana. But what I'm most concerned as a parent, and what you should be as a parent also, is the marijuana edibles, because our children can easily access this. And the edibles come in brownies, candies, chocolate bars, cookies, drinks, snacks, spreads, even gummy bears. And right now, the edibles account for nearly half of accidental exposure. About twice as many kids visit the Children's Hospital in Colorado's emergency room for the year 2014 to 2015, as did in prior years the opening of recreational marijuana stores. And Colorado's law on labeling and child resistance packaging have been unable to stop an increase of young kids ending up in the emergency room after accidentally consuming marijuana. This is important because California is following Colorado, so we need to learn what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong so that we can make the changes that's necessary. Our guest today is a presenter. He's also an expert on the subject of marijuana, the edibles, and substance abuse. And I'm so glad he's here because I have so many questions. Right now, he works as a community organizer for the community prevention team of the Asian American Drug Abuse Program. He has worked in the health field for more than 20 years and has provided health educational workshops and presentation to youth and parent groups. He's also co-author a chapter in an academic textbook that was published several years ago that focused on the foundation of comprehensive services for people in recovery from substance abuse and addiction. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Frederick Pio. Hi, Frederick.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful morning here in Southern California, too.
Yep, definitely.
So your role is a community organizer for ADAP. Can you tell us what you do as a community organizer?
Oh, definitely. As a community organizer, I usually go out into the communities and offer educational awareness on health-related issues that is impacting our communities nowadays, one of them being substance abuse and addiction. So with that being said, I offer presentations to trainings with healthcare professionals in regards to increasing their knowledge and their skills in terms of what is going on in our society today.
Now, you also do presentation for kids and youth. Do you go to school for that, or where do you go where all the youth are assembled?
We actually have youth groups in our prevention unit, and through our youth groups, we have other community organizers that actually facilitate leadership sessions in order to enhance their skills and become peer health advocates and try to educate other peers regarding different types of health issues. Again, specifically focusing on substance abuse. However, I've been invited by many middle school, high school, to even college institutions, as well as other youth-related programs to offer these kinds of education and awareness and prevention.
It sounds like you're helping educate the community at large. So I have so many questions about this Prop 64. Let's just get right into it.
Okay.
Now that it's here, why is society making a big deal out of it? What's the big deal?
Well, if you think about it, it's still illegal federally. However, statewide, it is legal for both medical and recreational use. there are still some restrictions in regards to the Prop 64 in terms of how people in the state of California can actually use medical marijuana or even just marijuana alone recreationally. For example, I believe I heard you stated earlier that the Prop 64 is intended for adult consumption. So anybody who is 21 years of age and older will have still restrictions, but they are basically eligible to use marijuana. Those under the age of 21, however, they cannot.
Yeah, but we all know how easy it is for these young kids to get these marijuana cards. That's considered medical anyways. And I'm sure that's a whole other different discussion that we can have.
Yeah. Another thing about Prop 64 that people don't necessarily understand is that, again, this is a statewide law, but the laws can change from city to city or even county, despite its legal status statewide.
Even though the law passed, there are certain things that's not enacted yet, right? What are those things?
As of right now, much of the items that is found under the Prop 64 legislation is intended for businesses. Businesses in terms of upholding a business that currently exists as of right now prior to the Prop 64 law, to even what kinds of regulations as well as protocols must be abided by these businesses in order to open up one. Other than that, when it comes to just consumers under the Prop 64, that has yet to be enacted by next year, January 1st. I haven't really fully read the Prop 64, but I understand that there are still some limitations to how much you can cultivate, to even how much you can actually possess. So until January 1st, 2018, there's still probably some legal repercussions that can happen to somebody who's possessing, let's say, for example, over a gram of marijuana.
Okay.
Because the law has not yet been enacted.
What are some of the ways that people can consume marijuana?
Marijuana can be smoked, can be vaped, eaten and drank. Although, like, smoking continues to be the traditional way of consuming marijuana, we're seeing an increased mode of use, like through vaping and eating THC-infused foods or drinking THC-infused beverages. We're beginning to see a little bit more of that happening nowadays. And this is just for people to keep that secrecy of using marijuana. At least when a person smokes marijuana, you can actually smell it on them. When they vape marijuana, there's still a hint of aroma that tends to come out.
But when they're eating, you can't tell at all, right?
It's really hard to tell until they've eaten so much of it or until the effects of the marijuana edible comes into effect. Then it's based on watching how they behave to even seeing other types of physical changes that may occur because of being under the influence.
This is what I've learned, is that when you're smoking marijuana, the high can hit you instantaneously, right? Like pretty much right away. So you know that it's working. Whereas edibles, I've read it can take up to 45 minutes or even more for you to feel the effects of it. Which means after, say, 10, 15 minutes, someone can go, I don't feel it. And they'll eat another candy bar or another brownie. And then 10 minutes later, I don't feel it. They'll eat another one. And then within an hour, could they overdose?
Oh, definitely. And let's be clear about the term overdose. If you think about that word, it basically means simply having gone over the recommended dose. So let's just say a person actually was given, a cookie. And out of that cookie, that person's been told there's 25 milligrams. Number one, we don't necessarily have an equipment that can accurately tell us whether or not that is the real dose of what is found in that cookie.
So there's no regulation, you're saying, right, that can regulate that's how much THC is in there.
Right. So other than that, when it comes to overdose, if I was given that cookie, and I was told that there's 25 milligrams and I can only eat one bite out of that whole cookie, what's to say that, I might basically, and this is out of human nature as well, because I love cookies. Believe me, I'll eat half a dozen of them. That later on, I don't pay attention to what actually looks like a regular cookie versus a marijuana-infused cookie, and I actually eat it whole. And another thing about the labeling of these products, marijuana products, is that oftentimes they're inaccurate. And in some cases, there's probably no labels at all in regards to the product's dose.
Okay, so then here we are talking about our children, who can be a third, a half of a grown-up's weight and size, right? And you're saying that these are not labeled, and if they are, they may even be inaccurate. A child or a teenager gets a hold of it, what's the consequence?
The consequences can range, and it all depends on the amount of THC levels that has been introduced into the body. Oh, that's another thing I've been meaning to share with you, is that a lot of people today probably still think that marijuana edibles are still harmless, and that these THC-infused foods are no different than how marijuana edibles were like in the past. The thing about the like baked goods in the past that has THC in them was that they're coming from plants that had like low THC chemicals. Today's edibles are cooked with very, very high, extremely high concentrations of THC and other cannabinoids. And because of this, it can be potentially harmful, not only for just babies, but even toddlers, to children, to teens, especially adults. Now, here's another thing about these today's THC-infused products. Milligrams can range from 25 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
I've even saw one brownie, just one whole brownie, that has 1,000 milligrams of THC.
So you're saying 25 is usually the average that we should take, but some of these have 1,000 milligrams of THC.
Oh, I'm not saying that a person should take 25 milligrams. I'm just saying that it varies. That you'll find products that has a minimum, possibly a minimum, of 25 milligrams on average, to even a maximum of 1,000 milligrams on average.
In a cookie?
Per serving.
Okay, wow. You're talking about cookies. So we've all heard of marijuana edibles. What else does it include?
Oh, you've already mentioned it earlier as the list of foods and snacks, which also includes drinks. So from gummy bears to gummy worms to even chips.
Okay. So they've just expanded to all these things. And now you're saying there's even drinks.
Especially drinks.
Wow. Okay. So these are all going to be available at your nearest liquor store eventually, right?
Who knows? I mean, if the businesses actually do comply with the rules and regulations, the state rules and regulations of recreational marijuana use, then we'll probably see it on the shelves. Basically, a concern is that majority of these products, they appear to be catering to youth. If you think about it, like I've seen drinks like marijuana infused drinks that look like Fanta.
You see alcohol the same way.
Exactly. And I didn't really want to mention any type of commercial brand names, but they tend to mimic commercial brand names, and they even emulate the appearance of commercial brand names that we all have grown to fall in love with and be familiar with.
So there's that, they're using that association of regular name brand now to the marijuana edibles when they're labeling and packaging these things. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's scary. And are they at least labeling it or saying something on there that shows that it's marijuana infused edibles?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, yes. But other cases, there are probably no labeling. So it all depends on who's manufacturing these products. It could be like a next door neighbor who got a hold of marijuana concentrates and was able to bake something out of the oven and having to distribute that baked goods to their friends, you know.
Okay.
And so there you will find no labels at all. All you know is that...
because it's homemade.
Exactly. Exactly.
So then how can I educate my kids in what product is a marijuana edible and what's not an edible?
There was this one, I believe it was like a newscast where they actually covered a story regarding marijuana edibles. And I loved how they actually used that one phrase, spot the pot, how to spot the pot. And the best way we can actually... And this is not a guarantee that you will actually identify which products will have marijuana and which products will not have marijuana. But some of the basic identifiers is to basically look for any marijuana products that mimic trademark commercial brand names. For example, you have Pop-Tarts. The mimic of that brand name is Pop-Tart, spelled with a P-O-T. you have an ice cream bar that says Klondike, but the marijuana-infused version is called Krondike. So
okay.
If you're able to, and they even also make references to the effects of marijuana, such as instead of Milky Way, it's Munchy Way.
Okay. You said that the advertisers are going after the kids, but legally they can't buy it until they're 21. So that means this is kind of like the alcohol, right? Like the shop owners are selling to underage kids.
Right.
So this is what we also have to worry about too.
Definitely. I mean, if you have an individual who has a card and can access medicinal marijuana products from a dispensary and they are of legal age, what's to say that that person will actually share that product with somebody else who is underage?
That's true. That's what's going on with alcohol. So this is just going to be another way that they can get more substance.
Right. And another means of access is online as well. So any merchant store that actually offers a transaction of marijuana products to their consumers, it's not regulated well. It's not policed well. So someone who has access to a credit card, let's just say, will be able to easily purchase marijuana products online without any legal repercussions.
Wow. So it sounds like we're not able to prevent our children from getting this. This is their friends can give it to them. They can go into a shop owner who turns a blind eye on it. So then we're talking about educating what we need to teach our children and ourselves so that we know the repercussion of it, the harm of it. When someone does eat too much marijuana, obviously you were saying it's an overdose, right?
Right.
It's just overdosing. It doesn't mean they have to rush to the hospital. Is there some sort of harm?
Definitely. There is.
I mean, I can imagine to the brain, right? I mean, these young kids are just developing.
Right. I mean, it's not to say that they cannot be rushed to the emergency room. I would recommend should a youth, a toddler, a child be exposed to a high dose or even just to a dose of marijuana-infused product to be rushed to the hospital. Because when it comes to short-term effects of marijuana, not only are you looking at like just having a short-term memory problems or even just the feelings of anxiety and paranoia, but now you're looking at hallucinations, panic attacks, like very strange behaviors, to even like just the loss of space and time. And it even has its physiological effects as well, like increasing the heart rate, which probably can lead to a heart attack, to even a stroke. Whatever that affects the heart and the functions of the heart, should it be something that is potentially harmful, then yes, please bring them to the emergency room.
I want to know now the long-term effect. Are there any data, statistics, some sort of peer review that shows? Because you mentioned earlier that the THC level of the marijuana today is very, very high concentrate compared to what it was in the 60s and 70s. So we're exposing ourselves to these high level as adult, as teens, as youth. What is the long-term effect?
The long-term effect, just to put it simply, is it could easily lead to addiction, abuse, then addiction. And it's to say that they may also have a change of behavior, change of mood, an altered state of mind. There are some cases where it is believed that it may decrease intelligence, let alone decrease cognition of the developing brain. It may start to lower their performance, whether if it's from school, even from work. These types of behavioral issues will start to come up when it comes to prolonged use of marijuana.
Can you tell me some of the challenges or issues that you've had to face regarding this?
Some of the challenges is having to convince folks that marijuana is potentially addictive, just like with any other drug, whether if it's a street drug to even pharmaceutical medications, it still has that potential for abuse and addiction. And it's really hard to actually have to convey to folks that you cannot necessarily compare apples and oranges or whatever is lesser of two evils. We've done that with tobacco. We've done that with alcohol. And now we're doing a similar concept to marijuana as part of the prevention message.
Okay.
In long term, there's going to be a potential health effects to not only individuals who are misusing, or already addicted to marijuana, but even social impacts as well. You know, we already have alcohol-related fatalities from people driving under the influence. What's to say that somebody else will, it may happen to that somebody else who's under the influence of marijuana as they're operating a vehicle.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's going on right now as we speak.
Exactly. Even the drive from my place to work today, there was a car right in front of me. I can only assume that the person was pretty much blazing up because I know the scent of marijuana.
Okay. Scary.
You know, and I already saw the smoke coming out of the side window.
Yeah.
And it was really, really strong. The aroma was extremely strong. And I pretty much knew that, wow, this person is blazing up as they're operating that vehicle right in front of me.
And then they talk about all the accidents on the freeway.
Exactly.
So what can we do as an individual to help?
The only thing that I can actually find that is very effective in order to reduce the chances of marijuana abuse in our society to even just any social impact that recreational marijuana and medicinal marijuana has had in our society is education. Education and awareness, and possibly just the means of risk reduction. It's almost like saying, I can't stop someone from being abstinent to something, but hopefully through some level of education and awareness regarding the potential harms of a particular substance such as marijuana, hopefully that can actually embed some level of consciousness for that individual to reduce their behavior, to reduce their use, or to become a little bit more responsible until eventually they stop.
Okay. Are there particular websites that you recommend as a first point of contact as resources?
Yes, there's two types of websites. One of them is Partnerships for Drug-Free Kids. And through that website, they actually have a whole slew of downloadable material in which parents can access and use for their benefit. And some of these materials actually teach parents, and I'll give you one example. There's one that's called the Marijuana Talk Kit. And with that document, it actually teaches parents how to have a dialogue regarding marijuana use, regarding exposure to marijuana, should their child or their loved one be exposed to marijuana one way or another, or if they already caught their loved one using marijuana. So how to engage in a more productive dialogue than a confrontational dialogue.
That's all on Partnership for Drug-Free Kids.
Right. And then another website is Rethinking Access to Marijuana, RAM for short. So in that website, it actually offers, in summary, both websites, Rethinking Access to Marijuana as well as Partnerships for Drug-Free Kids, not only do they offer resources in terms of services that is provided for those who are abusing drugs, but also who are addicted to drugs, they offer other types of materials as well, whether if it's educational materials to additional educational type materials in relationship to substance abuse.
Okay. Both of those links are in our show notes. You can just scroll to the bottom and click on the link. And do you guys have a Facebook page or websites that people can go to?
Yes. For the Facebook page, we do have the Asian American Drug Abuse Program. So if anybody actually has a Facebook account, they can type in and search Asian American Drug Abuse Program. And if you like the Facebook page, we also tend to post up additional educational materials and relationships to treatment services for substance abuse and addiction. Then you also have SBC3. That's the acronym. Hold on. I got to read. South Bay Communities Creating Change. that Facebook as well.
Okay.
And we tend to post a lot of educational articles onto that Facebook page as well.
Okay. Listeners, we're going to post all of these web link in the show notes so you don't have to worry about writing it down. And then they can also contact you, right?
Oh, definitely. Should I give them my phone number now or is it in the notes?
It'll be the notes, but you can give it now too.
Okay. So the number I can actually be reached is 323-293-6284. Again, it's 323-293-6284.
Okay, awesome. We've been talking about all these challenges and issues and feels kind of a downer, but can you tell me what are some successes that you've experienced in this area?
Some of the successes was that I was able to actually witness firsthand the engagement of our youth and our adult community members when it comes to these types of issues. I thought they would be pretty reserved or standoffish, but they are actually welcoming in terms of wanting to listen to this type of information. And although they may have some issues and concerns in relationship to what they've been receiving, especially based on what they've heard from their friends of friends about, let's say, for example, marijuana alone, they were still conscious enough to be more receptive to the material and taking it at face value instead of having to be argumentative in regards to the information. Does that make sense?
Okay, well, that's awesome. Yeah, that totally makes sense. You would think the youth would be like, yeah, whatever, I already know this or something, but it's great that they are embracing it and wanting to know more about it, which means that they have an open mind.
Right. Majority of the time, a lot of the community members have been very, very receptive. And the dialogue that is being exchanged between myself and my participants has always been extremely productive. Rarely do I receive a level of challenge where someone actually is just, you know, I can't say pro, but basically they already know their stance.
Yeah. So what's the biggest thing that people think they know about marijuana edible that isn't true?
That is not true. One thing is that people tend to still believe that when it comes to consuming a drug a certain way has less potential for abuse or has less potential for addiction. For example, I've heard it from people where they said, well, as long as I'm not shooting up and I'm smoking it, there's no chance, increased chance of me becoming addicted to that.
Good point. So even if they're eating a brownie once a day, you're saying there's potential of addiction there.
There is. And the reason why there is a potential for addiction is because it all depends on how it makes them feel. And it all depends on how it makes them feel based on what is occurring in their life at that time.
So we're talking about connection of emotional and mental.
Right.
Okay. Good food for thought. That's a great food for thought. Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Frederick, for all this wonderful information, informative information. And now we have links to go to get even more information.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Listeners, until next time, always be learning, always be growing. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.